It is not hard to destroy a college.
Last season, the podcast Campus Files brought you stories of fraternity drug rings, stolen body parts, campus cults, and more.
And now Campus Files is back for another season.
There's a guy screaming into his phone. He's like, I just saw Charlie Kirk get assassinated right in front of me.
Every week is a new episode and a new story.
It was so chaotic.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Atlanta, what's going on? It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. Our tour continues, Mike Bell, as we are up literally with the lake view today at the Twisted Oar, which is where we'll be hanging out from 2 to 6 today, man. And we got a great crowd here already.
Man, we got listeners everywhere. I said to these guys, y'all retired? Summer semi-retired? Some day drinking going on? Beautiful babies at the bar? Jamie's bartending? We've got some great folks. Ryan's a big listener who runs the spot. And what better place when it's 90 degrees in the shade, Carl, to be on the lake drinking ice-cold Mich Ultra, getting ready to watch Mexico.
No doubt.
The World Cup kicks off today at 3.
Yeah, man. USA plays tomorrow, so we'll be keeping you updated on all of that. Obviously, tomorrow night, they'll get their first match underway. Look, the world is talking about what they saw last night because we've never seen anything like it before. To have a team come back, well, we've seen it. But to have a team come back in the NBA Finals the way we saw last night, Mike, everybody in the world is reacting to it. And look, rightfully so. I am one who counted the Knicks out after being down 29.
Counted the Knicks out.
Counted them out.
I was watching a documentary on the Smithsonian I switched back.
You had completely changed channels. Yeah. So I'm sitting there, and I said, you know what? I'm not going to change the channel. And Michelle says to me, they're down 29. And I said, And I'm so glad I stayed tuned. And if you saw the ending of this game, Mike, where OG Anunoby gets the miraculous tip, and you've seen the headlines.
Right.
They're calling it all kinds of things in New York. But the bottom line is, guys, Spurs blew this.
Oh.
They absolutely – and it wasn't just this game. You go back in this series, they have led in every fourth quarter with the last 2 minutes of every game, and they have actually blown this series, Mike. And now, you know, everybody's saying Mitch Johnson should be fired after last night.
Well, let's be honest. We've seen some really boneheaded coaching right now in the NBA. You know, you think about Kenny Atkinson with Cleveland. You know, if you do analytics, we win this. Okay. Nice job there, pal. You know, and you and I were talking about it. You know, Mitch Johnson, I know that Pop has worked with him, but still, this is a young guy. So all gas, no brakes, first half. All gas, no brains, second half. You know, launching three-point shots with 10 seconds left on the 24-second clock. The Ka'Aron Fox is going to go down in history. Ka'Aron Fox, I should say, is going to go on down in history. Dude, you can swing that ball out and dribble around for a few more seconds. Maybe they foul you. I mean, it's one of the most undisciplined, just dumb thing for a guy who knows better, for an NBA veteran. Say, but that's the Knicks, meanwhile, they never died. They never said quit. And credit to the celebrities who didn't sell out.
It's true.
They did stay. Granted, they got free tickets, but they stayed courtside. I don't know about you, brother. I love Curb Your Enthusiasm to see Larry David and Seinfeld hugging after the game. To see Mariska Hargitay from Law & Order SUV or SVU, whatever the hell it is, with, again, I don't know if What's-Her-Face is a Knicks fan. Who cares, right?
Taylor Swift?
Yeah, who cares? She's having fun. The women are going bananas. I by the way, again, Carl says this all the time. Can't help where you're born. My father, I like to think, is up in heaven with Dave DeBuscher drinking some Bushmills last night, watching that, because he never got to see another championship after 73, and he lived and died for that team. So I don't know where it goes. I don't know, Carl, to your point, how the Spurs bounce back from that kind of a choke job.
I don't know if they do. Look, mentally, you're deflated. I don't care what the coach says. I don't care what your girl says. You know, being up in a game like that, and all those guys that play competitive basketball their entire lives, look, you're going to come out and play your hardest in game four, right? But or game five, should I say. But,
right.
but the reality is, Mike, even if the Spurs win, they know they got to go back to the Garden, and you're not beating this Knicks team three times in a row. You're just not. 404-726-0929 as we talk about last night's miraculous tip-in by OG Anunoby.
Oh.
And look, here's another point that I think has kind of gotten lost in the shuffle. OG had the block, to Mike's point, on De'Aaron Fox as he starts to break the other way. And then obviously everybody talks about, you know, what Jose Alvarado did.
Right.
But the block and then to get the tip. So, Mike, he won on both ends right there.
Right. Now, if you don't get also, if we're going to talk about Cat, if Cat doesn't deflect, and it's always smart, I always say, put the tallest guy on the inbounds.
Yep.
You know, so Cat gets a tip. You may have had Stephon Castle going for a dunk to win the game.
Easily.
Yep. Because he had a guy defender trailing. Either way, you know, there's always two ways to look at it. Did the Falcons blow the Super Bowl or did Tom Brady win the Super Bowl? And by the way, this takes a little bit of heat off us because it's a more stream of consciousness and it's in everybody's mind right now. But again, only if the Spurs go on to lose the series. But we know as Atlanta fans what that feels like. It's like a slow motion car crash where you're just like, no. Hey, but the Spurs, they've got no one to blame but themselves. And the Knicks, hey, think about how they went small ball. Think about the size of the guys on the floor in the second half to help make that run as well. Credit to Mike Brown. That's some good things.
I agree. Look, the Jose Alvarado move was brilliant. Look, he's not a dynamic scorer, but what he needed was somebody to take the pressure off of the ball handling situation for Jalen Brunson. Jalen has the ball in his hands, man, and they were D'ing him up, and they needed somebody else to take that pressure off. Jose did a great job. You guys realize Jose Alvarado had 10 points in the fourth quarter last night? 10. Not Karl-Anthony Towns, 10. Not OG, not Bridges.
Right.
So you have unsung heroes in these kinds of series, Mike, and if they win it, Jose Alvarado will be one of those guys that they'll be like, man, if he doesn't do what he did last night in that game, we certainly don't come back and win.
Unbelievable.
It was unbelievable. Well, we'll let you hear more about that. We certainly want to get your thoughts as well. But I know, Mike, you said it. And here's the bad thing for us, right? Every time something like this happens,
we get referenced.
we become the comparison, right? Mm. And you know, whether it's memes on social media or your friends or just people, you know, taking shots.
Right.
And I'm talking about Atlanta because of what happened with the Falcons in the Super Bowl, right? Super Bowl 51. But to Mike's point, like, this is right now, and that seems so far removed, but every time it happens, we're always going to get referenced because, again, in the biggest game in the world, we lost, and you know, the 28-3 thing is real. Last night, I have to tell you, in a basketball game, though, Mike,
right,
where it's runs, right? Teams go on runs. Right. 7-0 run, 8-0 run. That's the natural flow of a basketball game. What happened to us should have never happened.
I mean, the Falcons, unfortunately, we had a couple of things. It's, you know, it's not always the one thing. It's Devontae Freeman on the bench. Here we go, kids. Everybody huddle up, grab a shot. We're going to talk about Super Bowl 51.
Oh, but, you know, we need him.
It's Devontae Freeman in his bag because he's not on the field. And then when he's called to get on the field, he just basically checks out mentally. He doesn't pick up a blitz. You know, it's a Jake Matthews false start. You know, it's all the things that contributed to the end of the game. But the other thing was, it's injuries, and it's the Patriots figuring out, hey, we got a guy here we can pick as a corner. We've got another guy that we can use our weapons on offense, and Tom Brady just carved us up. But we just needed some poise, and we didn't have it. And that's what happened to San Antonio on their coaching staff. They didn't show poise. De'Aaron Fox lost poise. You know, situational awareness, chucking threes when there's 10 to 12 seconds left on the 24-second clock, that makes no sense.
It doesn't.
Because a three-point shot lead, some would argue, I heard Michael Wilbon saying this, is not sustainable. You got to now switch gears and just take it in the paint, grind it out, and win.
You can be hot for a half, any team.
Right.
You're not going to be hot the entire game.
Whoever shoots 50% both sides of the floor, right?
Yeah, you're not. And Mike, you know, as many games as I've done over the years, I always say the numbers come back. A team can shoot an unbelievable percentage in the first or second half, whatever it might be. And you go, well, that'll come back down to earth. And what I mean is at the end of the game, when you look at, oh, look at the three-point percentage, it's right around what they normally shoot. But the Spurs were on fire in that first half. And so you're right.
Right.
They just thought, well, we'll go out, keep shooting threes.
Hey, how about Wemby missing free throws? He's almost automatic. Wemby missing those two free throws, you know, that's one of those things where you said, okay, now it really has become pressure. Because, you know, people always try to, you know, quantify pressure. What is pressure? Well, that was pressure. That was a money shot. By the way, you know who makes his free throws? Covington, Stephon Castle. He makes his free throws. And Wemby kind of gacked it at the end. And that's on him. He'll have to look at the man in the mirror over that.
What did you think of the flagrant by Wemby?
You know, I think it's playoff basketball. I'm not losing sleep over it like some people are.
But if he gets one more.
He gets one more. That now he's going to be suspended for
correct.
A game.
Correct.
It's cumulative like it is in soccer. It is in the NBA. A lot of guys are looking at the block at the end of the game saying the Knicks got all arm.
Mm.
I think that was Anunoby we just talked about. Hey, you know what? How about Hart missing the bunny? How about Josh speaking of choke?
You could have been. He could have been.
It's the parallel universe. If he makes that,
that's
does
right.
that buy San Antonio more time in the half court? I don't know. Either way, the Knicks, it's one for history, man. It's an exciting time because, again, only a stick in the mud, and you've got your own agenda, Because people, I get it, the NBA regular season product is hard at times to watch. This has been amazing. This was electric last night.
No, it was.
I mean, anybody who wasn't turned on by that, I don't know what gets you excited for sports.
I don't disagree, man. We'd love to hear from you guys as we talk about this. We got a lot in store. Braves lose last night. Chris Sale, another good start. We'll get into that. Also, the Falcons and OTAs continuing as we are live from the Twisted Oar right here literally on Lake Lanier, Mike. And it's funny because I stopped at the security guard at the gate, and I was like, yeah, I'm going to Twisted Oar. He's like, up the hill. Park on your right side, and then around the building. And I said, okay, yeah, is it crowded up there? You'll see. I said, okay. So when I drove up, I told Day-Day, I was like looking for a parking spot. But it's good to see all the folks out here, man, regardless if it's lunchtime or whatever it may be. Now, I have to admit something.
Lay it on me.
You see who's here, don't you?
All right, so we have a guy who shows up. We do the shows at Hooters Mall of Georgia.
Yeah.
And we call him Baby Cam. Because he looks like a miniature Cam Newton.
Now, I didn't think he worked for a living, Mike, but actually he seems like he's entertaining some clients over here.
And he always shows up, and he's always wearing Panthers jerseys, and he has his son with him. We always say we got to call D-Facts because it's child abuse to have your son turn out of the Panthers. And we're like, the Panthers? What are you, nuts? Well, guess who won the NFC South?
I know.
Guess who's here to gloat?
He is, and as soon as I walked in, he's like, hey. I'm like, who? Oh, hey, man.
Baby Cam is here.
Because I was like, who are you? Oh, so, yeah, Mike, you know what sucks the most? Because I have to admit it, because, you know, I honestly thought the Falcons were going to win the division.
I know.
So I bet him $20 last year before the season started.
Right.
So I got to pay this guy. I got to pay him. And he walked up to me, and I'm just glad he didn't say, you owe me money. Like, you know, because that's what I would have done. But anyways, right. He is here. Want to acknowledge him because he is a big listener of our show. But doesn't it look like he's actually entertaining some folks over there? Like
he's
working?
So guess what he told me? Business lunch. So whatever job he has.
What business?
I don't know. He's talking to people about business. So whatever the business he's in, it's booming because he's got a big lunch going on here at the lake.
All right.
Not sure. So the other thing going on today, Jamie, we have a very the entire staff is very beautiful. And by the way, give it up for the very beautiful babies. Thank you, bartending here. Unbelievable staff.
You know they're hot when the ladies are clapping.
I know. And Jamie's like, so when are you going to do a shot? I go, well, how about I have my Reuben first and lay a little foundation?
Wow.
She's looking at me like, okay. And then I said, I got to wait for my work wife to get here.
Well,
that's you.
Where's she at?
She's the sexy brunette over there at the low-cut thing in the bar.
Why are you whispering?
I'm just, you know, I'm on a speaker. Talking on a 100,000-watt radio station.
You acting like nobody can hear you right
back.
Now. Where's she at?
She's behind the counter.
She's a very spicy meatball. I was talking with Ryan, the proprietor.
Okay.
And, that Jamie's a... She's got it going on.
Well, very, very good. Well, Jamie, we'll start here in 5, 4.
By the way, they've also recruited some of our other favorite bartenders and servers are working here. So,
all right. Fair enough, man.
Join the party, pal, here at the lake.
Yeah, we're going to be out here for a while, till 6.
Might have to get a room up here.
Hey, man.
Well, it's feeling that way.
It's a lot of fun. I mean, you might get on somebody's boat. Who knows?
Hey, now.
All right, Braves last night. What went down? Yes, we've lost 2 in a row. Don't panic. It's going to be just fine. We'll get into it coming up.
Pretty, pretty, pretty good.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, real people tell their stories live on stage.
I burst into tears. And I wasn't sure if I was crying because I hadn't been kissed in a really long time or if I had just never been kissed like that before.
To hear fascinating, heartbreaking, and sometimes hilarious stories from astronauts, teachers, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
Go flat for Jalen Brunson. Allow him to operate at the top. 101.
Brunson gets it. Fires up a three. Shot no good. The tip. It's gone. It's gone. It's gone. With 1.2 remaining. Knicks take the lead. OG Anunoby. And it's 107-106. Bedlam here at the Garden. They can't believe it.
We couldn't believe it. It's Dukes and Bell. We are live at the Twisted Oar up here at Lake Lanier Islands, guys. And that's the sound of last night's tip-in. And then you see the highlight of how high Anunoby was. He went above everybody to get that tip-in for the Knicks. Hey, man, we will get more into that, more into the Braves.
You like
the White Sox.
Sorry to cut you off. Hand of God, Part 2.
I loved it. Look, that's a great headline, isn't it?
Right. And for guys who don't know, Diego Maradona against England, the famous Hand of God goal in Mexico. And so that's it, basically. lifting up over all those different hands.
He elevated it. It was
amazing. And I love Ananobi's game. That's the kind of player. Good luck trying to find that DNA, but that's the kind of guy we need on the Hawks.
It was funny, man. Lisa Salters after the game, I thought he was going to be bananas, and he was just cool as a cucumber, right? She's like, can you tell me how you feel in this moment?
It's a game of runs. They made a run. We made a run.
This has got to feel incredible. I mean, you guys are able to come back from 29 down.
They made
Ananobi.
A run. We made a run. Got to go look at the videotapes. You always screwed up.
That's all he said. He didn't say anything. I thought he'd be losing his mind. Anyways, man, more on this to come. We do have breaking news about the Falcons that we want to share. And that is, Mike, here's what's crazy. So I think it was 2 days ago. Today's Thursday, right?
I've lost all track.
Me too.
Since I got
Me too.
On the lake.
Okay. That's what happens.
Yep.
So today's Thursday. So maybe 2 days ago, we were playing Matthew Bergeron, who was one of our starting guards, talking about the O-line and the adjustment with Coach Callahan. And in one of the comments, he said, and I joke with you, yeah, man, you know, Juwan Taylor's looked great, but, you know, he's kind of banged up right now.
He's dealing with something.
So we hadn't seen him. And I said to Mike, what's he dealing with? And we both said, well, we hadn't heard anything. Well, now, Mike, apparently the Chiefs are dealing away one of their other offensive tackles to come join the Falcons.
Yeah, now, this is Wanya. I again apologize if I'm mispronouncing, but W-A-N-Y-A. Wanya Morris to the Falcons. Credit to one of our erstwhile listeners.
Thank you, sir.
During the commercial break. Gets the producer credit, but Jeremy Fowler from ESPN says Morris started 16 games for the Chiefs, gives Atlanta much-needed tackle help. So maybe Juwan Taylor is damaged goods.
Might be.
I don't know Juwan Taylor from a hole in the wall other than Juwan trying to reset his career after becoming the meme for the walking false start. But Juwan Taylor, you said it. Bergeron kind of spilled the beans that maybe something's not kosher here with him.
Yeah, and look, we haven't seen him because, again, it's been OTAs. We expect to see him next week during mandatory minicamp. But if he doesn't work out, there's obviously a really good reason because, again, mandatory minicamp, they want everybody out there getting into work because it's the last time they get a chance to work with everybody before training camp starts. But, Mike, when we signed him, and, again, he's only 28 years old.
No, it's not like his career is over.
No.
But is there a lingering injury or something which is keeping him out of – and I'll tell you this, Ian Cunningham and or Stefanski and Matt Ryan are not wasting time.
No, they're not. This could be a depth move. But it seems very interesting that you sign Juwan and then you go get another offensive tackle when you've already got a bunch of one-year guys on the roster for depth purposes.
Right. Remember last year, guys, we were like, okay, it was a gut punch when McGarry went down with the injury. We're like, okay, we got Storm Norton. Then he got hurt.
That's right.
And then it was Elijah Wilkinson, kind of a swing, sort of hybrid guard tackle. So I like the fact the Falcons are being proactive here. But as you said, the bigger question is, what is former Pro Bowler Juwan Taylor going to be for us?
Yeah, and again, speculation here. We'll try to get some clarity, but that's interesting as the Falcons make another offensive line move. Meanwhile, let's get back to last night's game, man. Mitch Johnson should have caught a ride home last night. Should not have been able to fly back to San Antonio after giving up a 29-point lead. But
somebody should have hit him in the head with an egg. Well, and by the way, that was shameless.
It was
terrible.
But you feel like as you watch this play out, you saw the inexperience. You saw him kind of wonder. Even at the end, I'm screaming, bro, you got two timeouts. You're not going to take a timeout? Like, you're not going to. And he waited to the end to take the timeout. Here's what he said about losing last night after the Spurs were up big.
Yeah, I mean, at the top of the list, just in terms of obviously the circumstances and the stakes of what we're playing for, and to put as much good work into that first half as we did and get the lead that we had and not finish the job is disappointing, to say the least.
So this is what you've been saying all along and throughout these playoffs. At halftime, I just want you to imagine this. Spurs are up big, right? I think it's 75-38, whatever the hell it was. It felt like the beatdown we got from the Knicks in that game six.
Right.
But at halftime, Mitch Johnson should have come in and said, fellas, we are going to post Wimby up the entire second half, and we're going to run clock, and we are going to pass the ball. And even if we don't get a great shot, we're running clock. All right? And we're going to make them work to get back into this. We're not going to shoot quickly. He didn't say that, okay? And then they come out in the second half, and on our text thread, if you could see it last night, it literally was, are these guys going to keep shooting threes? What the hey is going on? Why is San Antonio jacking up all these threes? Mike, that philosophy allowed the Knicks to get back in it.
Well, how about the fact, and I was texting with you and Oren and Day-Day, they were hung on 81 points for 5 minutes. They couldn't score. They literally were just chucking threes. So to Carl's point, I mean, this is something like anybody who listens to coaches, AAU or any high school coaches that Damian knows, who listen to Dukesville, know that, yeah, just high percentage shots, work the clock, make that extra pass, you know, and let's. There's no reason to play hero ball now. Because this game is in hand. Don't give the Knicks any momentum. And they did exactly that. They gave the Knicks momentum. And once the Knicks got it to, like, you know, 15, the garden, the juice starts flowing. And that's when you get, uh-oh, now it's single digits, and now Wemby's missing free throws, and the pressure has just been ratcheted up. And look, that's why we said this to start the program. Two debates. It's always two stories. Did we blow the Super Bowl, or did Tom Brady take it? Well, two things can be true. We blew it, and they took it. I think the same thing happened last night.
I agree.
The Knicks' shots were dropping.
I agree. You want to hear how pressure gets to people? Because we always go, oh, pressure's not a big deal. Pressure will bust a pipe. The last time Wemby missed back-to-back free throws, you have to go back to March 17th. That's 34 games.
Wow.
Including the regular season.
That's crazy.
So those free throws that he missed last night, pressure. Right. That's all that was. I mean, like, you go, all right, I'm going to go knock these down. And then you realize this dude had missed back-to-back free throws since March 17th. So, Mike, you talk about caving in the moment. That's a prime example of what we're talking about.
Well, you and I remember we talked to Sam Mitchell last week, and I said, will, you know, Coach Johnson, you know, deal with some pressure and handle the pressure? And that's why you and I joke. We literally had this. That's why I listen to Dukes and Bill every day, because we get stuff right.
Please do.
No, we were talking about you got 18 assistants. So, like, when Knicks the other night were going, hey, Cat hasn't touched the ball in, like, 9 minutes. Cat has no attempts. Is nobody on the San Antonio? Who's that guy that looks like Grizzly Adams with the beard? I don't know who that guy is. Maybe he should be going, hey,
by the way,
maybe burn more clock, coach.
Pop's going to have that phone where he's going to have to pager on from now on down on the sideline. There's going to be something going on.
Right.
Because you're right. I don't know who that is. There's not – and let's be honest, if you're not familiar, there are no other former head coaches on this staff. Okay, that is a big deal. We always talk about this.
The Knicks have got everybody on that staff.
Yes, it's the mistake Raheem Morris made with the Falcons offensive staff, right? I'm going to go hire first-time guys. I need experience. You see what Kevin Stefanski's done. Completely different. I think Dave Archer said yesterday.
Mo Cheeks is on the Knicks staff. You got all these guys.
All these guys.
Right.
And, you know, Arch said yesterday, we got five guys on the staff that have called plays in the NFL. That's a big deal. 404-726-0929. We're going to talk Braves here in a minute. I do want you to hear Victor Wembanyama and then Charles Barkley, who made me laugh last night. Here's Victor Wembanyama after the game and losing to the Knicks last night.
What's going through my mind right now, I think it's going to go one of two ways. One of two ways. And a bad one and a good one. And I know the bad one would be giving up. The good one would be getting stronger through this, getting more together. And I know this is what we're going to do.
Well, look, I thought y'all were pretty together last night. I don't know if you can have a better performance.
The crowd doesn't exist. You've taken the Knicks crowd out of it. Home court's disappeared. Again, there's only one way you lose this game, and they did it. And Michael Wilbon, by the way, I can't lie to you. I watched that last 5.7 seconds 10 times last night.
Yeah.
Couldn't stop. Just DVR, rewind.
It's crazy.
It's amazing. But Michael Wilbon on ESPN last night Scott Van Pelt was saying it was the dumbest – it was like the dumbest, you know, 24 minutes of basketball we've ever seen. And I think he's on point.
He wasn't the only one saying that. Let me hear my man Chuck.
We saw the dumbest basketball team in the history of civilization.
Oh, wow.
We saw they had a 25-point lead, took eight straight threes. Like, they thought to get, like, that was some of the most mismanaged, stupid basketball. Hey, when you blow a 29-point lead, the other team has to help you. The San Antonio Spurs helped the New York Knicks win this game by doing some of the stupid-ass stuff I've ever seen on a basketball court.
Congratulations to the Knicks for coming back, but Chuck, I agree with you.
100%.
Yeah, man. And they've been crushing it. It's great to see our guys, again, from TNT and inside
and
the NBA.
And hearing that kind of passion and authenticity on ESPN.
Yeah.
You know, love it.
I'm with you. Hey, man, Braves lose to the White Sox 2-1. Mike, Chris Sale, pretty good again last night. Two earned runs on six hits. He went six. Actually struck out six through five in two-third innings. But at the end of the day, White Sox have beaten us twice now. And everybody, you know, again, calm down. We're fine. It's okay.
Are we?
Yeah, because we've been just rolling everybody up.
Are we fine?
I think we're fine. Martin Perez on the hill tonight. Today, should I say. We'll see if we can salvage a game.
Yeah,
man.
But, you know, it's funny. Last night, Chris Sale, you feel like, you know, you're squandering starts for Chris Sale.
That's true.
You know, you're not supporting him.
He should have won the three that he's lost.
When Tom Glavine, as Dusty Rhodes said, when Benedict Arnold went to the Mets did the same thing to Tom Glavine for like his entire career. They never seem to hit home runs when Sale is pitching. Problem last night was there was just no juice. And the White Sox, you know, as Grant told us yesterday, Grant McCauley will join us at 5:20. That is a team which is turning the corner and is making the turn with a young, a youth movement, some really good players, and they're feeling confident. You know, and so last night, brother, there's no juice.
No.
There was no juice. Drake Baldwin can't get back soon enough, and when somebody can tell me when Austin Riley's going to figure this out, you let me know.
I don't know if he is. Mike, we're about to get to July
We're going on three seasons now of Austin Riley being a bum.
Yeah.
Seriously, guys.
Whoa. Did you call him a bum?
Bum.
Bum?
Bum. Austin Riley right now is a bum.
He's not doing it. I don't disagree. Hey, man, coming up, it's the worst we've ever felt. It's Dukes and Bell.
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen? Not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, mine starts here.
Coming up, we'll go around the NFL. What's Lamar Jackson saying about his new offensive coordinator? And also, Jalen Hurts addresses the A.J. Brown trade. But, Mike, as last night played out, have no dog in the fight. Just want to be entertained. And I was thoroughly entertained last night as the Knicks won that game. But as the game ended, you and I and the rest of Atlanta know exactly how Spurs fans are feeling. And
shame. Ding.
It's tough, man.
Shame.
And look, regardless of what you do or who you are, your sports teams in your city are your identity. San Antonio only has one. It's the Spurs. That's it. They don't have a hockey team. They don't have a football team. Their football team is the Cowboys. Okay.
Right.
And the Spurs have been there for, what, since the late 60s?
Right.
And the point I'm getting to is very similar to our loss in the Super Bowl. We know how that feels. And it was, by far, the darkest 3 months of this radio show that we've ever had.
It's the only months. I'll take you behind the curtain. The only time that Carl and I weren't in the top five in ratings was that February, because nobody wanted to talk about it. Everyone's hearts were broken. Nobody wanted to talk about what happened down in Houston in Super Bowl 51. And that's the only time, literally, the only bad month we've ever had. You know, by our business's standards, because it just ripped everyone's hearts out.
Yep.
And that's what's so hard, because we know how difficult it is just to get to the Super Bowl. I mean, imagine you're a San Francisco fan. Now, granted, you want a ton, but in your presently, as they are constructed, they've been so close, and even they can't get there. And we're looking up at them.
It's true.
You know,
yeah.
We haven't been to the playoffs in 8 seasons, going on 9.
That's why we've stressed these changes with the Falcons. We've stressed attention to detail and all the things that we think are going to get us over the top. Everybody keeps talking about, like, our talent. It's not our talent. We got enough talent. I know you may or may not believe that, but, like, last year, did you think we were going to be second in sacks in the NFL?
And
nobody thought
and
that.
Missed the playoffs.
Right. So, you know, we complained for over a decade about sacks and getting another guy, a fire breather, as Mike likes to say, coming off the edge.
Right.
We found him. James Pierce Jr. Kid comes in as a rookie, gets 10.5 sacks. We're second in the league, and Mike just said it. We don't go to the playoffs. So, like, the talent is there if coached properly. But it just gets us back to, like, and this is the reason why I'm bringing it up. I'm not bringing it up to reminisce. I'm just simply saying, if anything drives Falcon fans, it's knowing how that felt. If you want to know, like, okay, I've had the lowest of the lows. I've seen my team lose at the worst moment in the biggest moment. That's what drives us. And if you say, well, how the hell are y'all still Falcon fans? Because, Mike, I get that. Oh, you follow the Falcons?
Right.
Yeah. They think that we should have quit after that. And it doesn't work that way.
One. We've heard that before.
It doesn't work that way.
And look, I mean, it's tough because the Saints are our mortal enemies, and the Saints got jokes. Hell, I saw my boy Brian, who lives down in Gentilly, had a somebody took a picture the other day, sent it to you and me. It was a plate. It was Louisiana 28-3. Because, let's be honest, that's all they got.
That's all
we
they got.
More to our lives. But, again, still, it's about competition.
Well, that and gumbo. Result. That and gumbo.
Give a shout-out to Deborah Carl.
Hello, Deborah. Thank you, guys.
And Kenny Loggins.
Oh, Kenny, I didn't see you there. Hey, how you doing?
You know where Kenny's taking it?
Where's that?
Danger Zone. That's our guy. Anyway, we always love to find the lookalike in the crowd.
He does look like him.
We're hanging out here at the Twist.
We had Nick Nolte at the show yesterday.
Jimmy even sounded like aggravated Nick Nolte.
He did.
You know, Mike, oh, hell, I love you and Carl. I listen to you guys every day. But we're hanging out at the Twisted Oar, guys, here on Lake Lanier. The first exit, make a right.
That's right.
And join the party, pal, coming off exit 8. But we're having a ball. Yeah, you're right, though. We know what it's like as Falcon fans, and I will say this, and I know it's hard in 2026 because, and I'm not knocking whatever, it is what it is. Some people don't want to put the heartbreak equity or the sweat equity in with a bad team.
That's fair.
And I grew up as a kid, game guys, I said it a second time today, Carl, I can't help where I was raised. If I'd known I was going to work in Atlanta, I'd have had dad move us to Marietta or something. But I grew up with a bad Mets team, as bad as the Braves were in the 80s.
Yeah.
And so, other than the Joe Torre time. And so it just builds – my father said it builds character. I think you got to stick with it. We joked around about don't sell your tickets to all these heritage teams coming to town because if we ever do figure this thing out
– And we will.
And God –
We will.
The law of averages says eventually we will. It'll be 10 times as sweet as anybody who's a fan of a team that's won multiple Super Bowls.
I totally agree. I mean, like, you talk about this city and you know, the state exploding. It's going to happen. I'd love to tell you it's going to, you know, happen here in the near future. But that's what I was thinking about last night after that game. And it wasn't like I'm in a negative mindset. It's just like, been there, done that.
Right.
Mike, and now we want to be on the other side of this. We want to be, and that's why we're bringing it up. We have the Falcon season in front of us, guys. The Hawks, this is a big offseason. We don't know where this is going to go with the Hawks with two first-round draft picks and what they may do from a trade standpoint. Like, the future looks very bright for our sports teams. And back to the Braves. I know we lost last night. Don't get caught up in that. This is a playoff team, okay? We're going to go to the playoffs. What we do in the playoffs, I'm not sure about.
Now, we do have some body shots we're going to have to weather on the way to the playoffs. You just mentioned it. You know, Ronald Acuna is dealing with another injury. And I saw the comments from Wiley Ballard last night on Twitter making it sound like it's kind of open-ended as far as the 10-day IL. So it's not as cut and dry as we thought yesterday when we spoke with you.
No real timetable.
Correct.
Yeah.
Grade 1 hamstring pull. And then you get to Austin Riley, who's not hitting. Now, no one's complaining because we're still winning. But, you know, this is stuff that you cannot have in October. You can't have Austin Riley batting 200 in October. He's expected to, you know, contribute to this thing. But I do believe that they're going to give Alex the wherewithal to go, find another bat for the outfield, find another arm, a starting pitcher. And I like the idea. I like they're being proactive with Grant Holmes. Get him in the pen. Let Richie take his shot. But I do think there's still some mind. If it's a minefield, we still got some things we got to avoid to get to where we're talking about. You know, and that kind of run we made in 21.
It is. It's fair. I told you guys, I guess a while back, I was dealing with some back issues and, you know, Day-Day's been laughing at me because during the breaks at the studio, he'll see me in the back on a table doing stretches, and he'll be like, oh, I don't want to do that. And he makes fun of me. But the point is, at the same time, Mike, I was dealing with this grade one hammy.
Right.
And I don't have to run the first base. And when I went to my ortho guy, he was like, yeah, that'll heal. It'll be fine. And, you know, just got to give it time. To your point about Ronald Acuna, it took weeks for mine to finally feel like, oh, okay, I can bend down. I can stretch. I don't know. He's a professional athlete.
Right.
But I'm telling you, Mike's point is, it's not just 10 days and he's back on the club and he's back. It could be 3 weeks, 4 weeks before we potentially see Ronald Acuna because these grade one, two, and three, and three is the worst.
Right.
It takes time. That's all. That's the only thing. You cannot put something on it, Mike. You can ice and heat it, but there's nothing you can do for it that's going to heal it immediately.
Right. And we said earlier, the White Sox, you know how good the White Sox are feeling? You know, whatever happens today, they won the series from the Braves. That's like a nice little benchmark for them.
It is. It is.
You know how good we are, and the White Sox are a young team, and they've got some guys that have been drafted, and they're coming through their system, and they're producing. You know, and like I always, truth be told, I've got no dog in the fight in Chicago. I always thought as the White Sox as the working man's team on the South Side. So that, you know, I vibe that. And last night the crowd's going bananas, and that was a grinder of a game too.
Yeah, it was.
Really
it,
was.
We will see what happens tonight, as we mentioned. Martin Perez on the hill. The other news that we've got to at least talk about, and it's one of the reasons why we're here. They don't have the match on tonight. World Cup begins.
And sí, señor.
Sí, señor. Mexico and South Africa underway. South Korea and Czechoslovakia tonight. We don't know what the U.S. does. I've been asked this question, Mike, and I'll just pose it to you. Look, I just want to have a good showing. I do not expect us to win the World Cup.
Yeah, like Pochettino's come in. It's always a soap opera with America. There's always half the fans feel this way or that way. Christian Pulisic's one of our best players. We don't have a lot of attacking. We don't have a lot of scorers, if we're honest. Now, we have guys who have been matriculated to the better leagues in Europe.
Right.
And that always makes you feel good as America. But I always – and I hate to be – all right, I'll do it. What do I care?
What?
Blank your feelings. Our best athletes don't play the freaking sport. Our best athletes – you look at that guy. By the way, did you see Team USA last night when the Knicks won?
I did.
They're having a viewing party.
They were
and
going
the Knicks
crazy.
They're going bananas.
They're
like,
going
I
crazy.
Think just enjoying the spectacle of it all.
Yes.
I'm not saying that Team USA had like $1,000 on the Knicks.
They may have.
But either way.
They may have.
And they're great guys, and they've come – they're the product of, you know, the youth system around the country. But is that our best athletes? You're telling me guys are going to be playing corner or point guard in the NBA wouldn't be a better athlete? Now, again, I get it. You got to be a certain type of athlete. You're not going to be the biggest athlete. But, I mean, you're telling me we got some guys that are power forwards or tight ends that wouldn't be better goalkeepers, all the whole shebang. We are a country of 350 million people. And every time I watch the World Cup, I figure we get into the second round and we lose.
Yes.
And that's our end. That's our ceiling.
Yes.
Because I don't like – and we've talked about this with Brad Guzan. I'm not trying to put words in Brad's mouth. But the way that we run our youth soccer in this country, just like travel baseball is expensive, I just don't think the toughest, best athletes in our country play the sport. That's my take.
Okay.
And by the way, if you've got a kid who's tough and is athletic, and hopefully he climbs a ladder and proves me wrong, but we always feel there's a ceiling going into this World Cup tournament.
Let me ask you this, since we're talking about this. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, talking about World Cup beginning. USA will play tomorrow, by the way. But let me ask you this, since you bring this up. So having your best players play is one thing, but don't we push the other majors in this country? Mike, what I'm saying is you see more football-related things, more NBA-related things, certainly more baseball. And baseball, I've always said they don't do a great job of marketing the game, but you see more of that. Even the NHL has a bigger presence than soccer, and I'm not saying it's not relevant. I was the father who was seeing all these kids play, and I used to laugh because everybody's kid would play. But it was more about, hell, I need to get them tired than it was I need the investment of having my kid love soccer.
Right.
We took our kids to soccer. It was like, man, they're about to run for 2 hours, and then they'll be in bed. This is great. Not they're in soccer, and you know what? I want to keep them here and let them learn and develop and grow and get scholarships. That's what we tell our football and basketball and
baseball
and baseball players, Mike. So what you're saying is true, but the focus has never been there to have our best athletes play professional soccer. You hear more about NBA and NFL salaries than you ever do about soccer salaries.
Right. And look, MLS, it is what it is. Like 17 and 18, I literally had this conversation yesterday at the gym with the guys at Big Soccer. We had the same conversation. His kids play at McIntosh High School down on the South Side. And saying the same thing you and I were just talking about. It's just for travel baseball. Now, granted, some parents, if we're honest, Carl, are delusional, thinking their kids can make it all the way to the show.
Sure.
And that's fine. But you're right. The structure, the baseline for American soccer, it only helps if these guys playing in this tournament do something special and builds it up. Women's soccer took a huge leap in 2000.
They did.
You know? Now, we had a professional league, and it backslid.
Randy Chastain. Who forgets that? I don't.
But I'm with you. It's just you look at these guys, and I watched that documentary. It was a four-parter on HBO. It's nothing personal, but I'm looking at these players. I go, you're not the toughest, mentally toughest guys in America. Those guys are in the inner city. They're out in the country. You know, it's just you're not it. You know, and you're not college kids. You know, I'm sorry. I mean, it's and I understand there's more than one way you can matriculate in your international soccer, but you've got to be earmarked by one of the better teams, put in their system, and develop like they do in Argentina,
yes,
in Latin America, they
yes
do in Europe. Either way. Look, I hope it does change, but it always seems like the way that U.S. soccer was run for three decades is like a country club.
Yeah, and if you're going, why are you guys talking about this? Because we're telling
you. The World Cup starts today.
Correct. About where this team is, at least in our estimation, and maybe they surprise a few folks. That'd be great.
Hey, and by the
way,
that'd be great. 404-726-0929. We're going to do some NFL next. But, Carl, if guys are in the program, if your kids are in youth soccer, have matriculated, sure. Want to hear what are we getting wrong? What are we getting right about this conversation?
Yeah, because I also think even if you are a really good soccer player, and I've had friends who have experienced this as well, you get pushed to the other sports. So your kid can be really good at soccer, but he gets to a high school, Mike, where the football team or the basketball team or the baseball team is really good. You know, you might want to, because he's a good athlete, you might want to think about this. They're not pushing that. And so, you know, again, when we get to that point and you start seeing the change fundamentally down here, that's when you'll see the change up there. It's not right. Going to happen. There's only one Christian Pulisic. Why? There should be like 10 of those dudes.
And all the top kids, when they earmark the talent, they really recognize the skill set. That happens like, you know, in puberty, okay? It's not happening by the time they're in college. So I'm with you on that. But again, I'd love to hear your input,
yeah.
As in Mexico City, or as Michael Buffer would say,
Mexico.
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 Mexico City, El Trey, taking South Africa on. We're up here, guys, at the Twisted Oar, Lake Lanier Islands. What a great crowd, great bar scene. We got folks hanging out. This lady over here, she's taking photos. Let me suck it in first, lady. Give us a heads up on that.
Thank you for coming.
Come on down. Join the party. We'll be here till 6.
Hey, man, when we come back, Lamar talking about his new OC, and Jalen Hurts addresses the A.J. Brown situation. We'll go around the NFL in 4th and 1 coming up on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.